A Wizard of Earthsea. From the book by Ursula Le Guin. Dramatized for radio by Bert Cools, with Michael Maloney as Ged and Judy Dench as the narrator.
Only in silence, the word. Only in dark, the light. Only in dying, life. Bright the hawk's flight on the empty sky.
The world of Earthsea is a world of water. One vast ocean, dotted with islands big and small, populous and barren, welcoming and warlike. Some isles are renowned for their fishermen, some for their harpers, some for their weavers. The island of God is a land famous for wizards. One Gauntish man became, in his day, both dragon lord and archmage. His life is told in many stories and many songs, but this is a tale of the time before his fame, before the songs were made. Some say he was the greatest wizard of them all. He was the man called Sparrowhawk.
Dooney, keep that bellows working. What's the matter with you, boy?
Get some.
Oh.
Do as I say.
Oh, Father.
Well, or are you too feeble? Weakling?
I'm no weakling.
That's more like it.
As a child, Sparrowhawk bore the name Dooney. It was given to him by his mother. That and his life were all that she could give him, for she died before he was a year old.
Keep that rhythm steady. Do you want to feel the back of my hand again? What? Damn that boy! Come back here!
There was not much work to be got out of young Dooney. He was always off and away, roaming deep in the forest, swimming in the pools, or climbing by cliff and scarp to the heights above the village.
See, and that island is Spevy, and beyond Spevy are the Cargid Islands, where the only thing men love is war and conquest. And then there's Perigal, and after Perigal, there's nothing, only the sea, so they say.
Dooney grew wild, a thriving weed, a tall, quick boy, loud and proud and full of temper. With a few other children, he herded goats on the steep meadows above the river springs. One day, a goat wandered down into the village.
Hey! Hey! Come down off my roof, you stupid animal!
Hey, boy! Come here!
Well, what's the fuss?
What? Are you blind? You're a goat herd, aren't you? Get that animal off my roof while I've still got some roof left.
And how am I supposed to do that?
Oh. What's the trouble here? All this noise!
Art, they want me to bring down the goat.
Yeah.
They can't do it themselves, so they ask a boy. Stand aside.
Are you going to climb up?
Quiet! None here smelt man. He'll can melt.
Look out!
How did you do that?
Never you mind, boy.
Dooney was untaught and knew nothing of the arts and powers that are in the world. But he had a keen ear and a quick mind. The next day, he was watching the long-haired goats on the meadows of High Fall.
None yet, Meltman. Yolk han, miet han. Oh, that's right. Come here, goats, come to me. None yet, Meltman. Yolk han, miet han. Hey,
Hey, keep back! Ow, stop it! Stop staring at me like that!
He ran from their strange, slitted yellow eyes and their thick, ridged horns. The goats ran with him, huddled together around him, as if a rope was pulled tight about them. He tried to get free of them, but he could not.
Help! Help me!
Creel!
Oh, Aunt!
Come with me. Sit down there, boy. Now, what did you say to the goats?
The same words you used yesterday. The rhyme.
So you know what those words are?
No.
But you know their meaning?
No, I just said them.
Well, well. And yet you spellbound the goats. You have the makings of the power.
The power? Magic?
If you were to come and live here with me, I might teach you rhymes you would like better. The words that make a snail look out of its shell, or call a falcon down from the sky.
Aye, teach me those words.
You will never tell those words to the other children. Promise me.
And have them know what I know. I promise.
Well and good. But I will bind your promise. Your tongue will be still till I choose to unbind it. We must keep the secrets of our craft.
Good.
He sat still while his aunt bound back her uncombed hair and knotted the belt of her dress. Then she threw a handful of leaves into the fire pit. A smoke spread and filled the darkness of the hut.
Ah, it's done. I've bound you in obedience to me, and I've ensured your silence. You cannot utter any sound unless I will it. Try it. Feel the power of my magic.
Then his aunt was afraid of his strength. This was Duni's first step on the way he was to follow all his life. The way of wizardry. The way that led him at last to hunt a shadow over land and sea to the lightless coasts of Death's kingdom. But in those first steps along the way, it seemed a broad, bright road.
Something wonderful.
Come here, boy. Tell me your name.
Duni.
That's just your used name. Everyone and everything has a true name. A real name. Can you see that falcon?
Where?
Look higher.
Yes?
What's the falcon's true name?
I don't know.
Be serious. The falcon's true name is Azyeda.
Azyeda? Azyeda?
Yes. Say, Adahan Azyeda.
What does that mean?
Say it!
Adahan Azyeda.
Oh. Don't be afraid. It won't hurt you.
Oh, why won't it?
Because you know its name. To know a thing's true name is to have power over it.
And to know a man's true name?
Is the greatest power of all. Know a man's true name, and you hold his life in your hand. Kale, Azyeda!
Aunt, do you know my true name?
Not yet, but someday you will. When you do, guard it safer than your soul.
From that day, the children of the village began to fear Duni. And seeing him often in the high pastures with a bird of prey about him, they called him Sparrow.
Teach me more.
More?
Teach me more of the true speech. The words of power.
But all the words of power she knew, the witch had long since taught to Duni. Duni was just a few years older when the Kargad Empire set sail in lust of conquest. In 30 great longships they sailed to the Isle of Gaunt, fighting and burning their slow way inland. The people of Duni's village woke one morning to see smoke darkening the eastern sky.
So, boy, you've come back to your father. Have you decided to learn an honest craft? Stand away. Well?
I come because my aunt has gone.
So, the witch is gone, has she? Run away into the hills like most of the others.
She's afraid of the cards.
She's right to be afraid. They're fierce fighters and they like the sight of blood and the smell of burning tongues.
Will they kill us?
They do. It won't be without a fight. Look at this. I've been forging spear points. Here. This one's for you.
For me?
Don't stand there gawping like an idiot. It's no use as it is. Lash it to that rake handle. Well, get to work.
All that night, the smith and his son labored. And at the next sunrise, those villagers who had not fled stood waiting with their new forged spears, their hunting bows and their knives. They did not know whether the cargs were far off or very near.
Damn this waiting. I wish something happened.
I wish...
Yes, lad?
I wish I knew more.
Dooney looked down at his thin arms, wet with cold fog dew, and raged at his weakness. There was power in him, if he knew how to use it, and he sought among all the spells he had learned for some device that might give him and his companions an advantage, or at least a chance. But need alone is not enough to set power free. There must be knowledge.
There they are, coming up the mountain. Oh,
there must be over 100 of them. Look at their armor, their weapons.
What use are these toys?
Right.
Stand fast. 100 of them and 18 of us. It'll be a slaughter.
Stand fast, I say.
We may be able to take them by surprise.
Then, at last, Need called knowledge out, and Dooney knew what he must do.
Ilotka!
Be quiet, fool.
Very high. Futa!
I said be quiet. Keep your blathering mouth shut. Go and hide if you can't fight like a man.
What's happening?
It's a fire. What? It's a fire. It's a smoke. It's fog.
I can't see any of you.
Neither can the cogs. But when they get here, we'll be able to see them.
What did you say?
This isn't fog.
I've hidden us.
I can see shapes in the mist.
Fog wraiths.
They won't hurt us. Hmm? They have such power. If this is true, boy,
it's true,
then you've given us a chance. We can fight them.
We can.
I'll keep up the spell for as long as I can. But you must be quick. Be quick.
Come on.
It was as the boy had said. And invisible and safe in the fog, the villagers sent a volley of arrows and spears at the invaders as they stood confused by the magical mist. The warriors charged forward to hew down their puny attackers, but they found only the fog about them, full of the wraiths. In their blindness, one group of the cogs chased the dim, flickering figures straight to the high fall, the cliff's edge, and then over it, out onto the air.
They're retreating!
Look at them stumbling! They're blind!
Until they come back.
They won't be coming back.
The surviving cogs ran, stumbling and silent, until they were beyond the blinding mist. Then they stopped, gathered together and looked back. A wall of wavering, writhing grey lay blank across the path, hiding all that lay behind it. Not one cog looked back more than that once.
They've gone.
Thanks to your son, Smith. Smith? What's wrong, man?
What's the matter with the boy? Dooney? Son?
He's injured.
No, there's no blood. But look at his eyes.
Dooney? Dooney, can you hear me? Speak.
He's dead.
On his feet and breathing, fool.
Well then, he's enchanted.
That's the truth of it.
more enchantment. You, go up into the mountains. Bring back the witch. She's the only one who can help him now.
He's beyond my aid.
What?
He's overspent his power. I can do nothing.
Who comes here to trouble us? May I see the boy?
Who are you?
Quiet, brother.
May I see him?
Yes. Yes, of course.
The stranger, a man neither old nor young, cloaked and bareheaded, and lightly carrying a great staff of oak, stooped above the cot where Dooney lay staring into the darkness. He did no more than lay his hand upon the boy's forehead and touch his lips once.
Dooney?
Have they gone? The carts?
They have.
The village?
He's safe.
Do I have something to eat?
Ha! Stranger. Sir, we thank you.
Oh. Who are you, sir?
You're no common man.
Nor will this boy be a common man. The tale of his deed has come to the village of Rhea Albi, which is my home.
Brother, this must be the mage of Rhea Albi, Ogion the Silent, the one that tamed the earthquake.
I have come here to give the boy his true name, and, if you see fit, to take him with me. Do you agree to this? Do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
I take from you this garment, the clothing of a boy. You are a boy no longer.
I take from you your name, given to you as a baby by your mother. You are Dooney no longer.
Enter the water of the river Arn.
Nameless and naked, he walked into the cold spring in the ancient ceremony of the passage into manhood. And as he entered the water, clouds crossed the sun's face, and great shadows slid and mingled over the water of the pool about him. He crossed to the far bank, shivering with cold, but walking slow and proud as he should through that icy living water. As he came to the far bank, Ogion, waiting, reached out his hand and clasped the boy's arm.
Now you are a man. Ged.
Ged. Thank you, Master.
Thus was he given his true name, his secret name, by one very wise in the uses of power. And no one knew his name but Ged and his namer. On the Isle of Gaunt, as in all Earthsea, a naming day was a time for feasting and for merriment.
Come, lad. Bid your people farewell.
So soon.
Come.
Ged fetched what little he had to carry. He said farewell to all the people he knew in the world, and looked about at the village that straggled and huddled there under the cliffs and over the river springs. Then he set off with his new master.
Sir? Sir! You've been my master for 4 days. When will my apprenticeship begin?
It has begun.
Huh? But I haven't learned anything yet.
Because you haven't found out what I am teaching.
Wait.
You want to work spells?
Yes.
You've drawn too much water from that well. Wait. Manhood is patience. Mastery is 9 times patience. What is that herb, by the part?
Straw flower.
And that?
I don't know.
Fourfoil, they call it.
What is its use, Master?
None I know of.
Oh.
When you know the fourfoil in all its seasons, root and leaf and flower, by sight and scent and seed, then you may learn its true name and know its being, which is more than its use. What, after all, is the use of you? Or of myself? Is Gaunt Mountain useful? Or the open sea? To hear, one must be silent. Come.
It's going to rain. Will you send the storm aside? Will you speak the spell?
You see that thick fir tree ahead?
Yes, master.
It'll keep the rain off quite well.
Ged crouched among the dripping branches, wet and sullen, and wondered what was the good of having power if you were too wise to use it.
This is my house, and yours too now.
But it's just like the huts in my village. I thought that wizards lived in great palaces.
You shall sleep in that alcove. The window overlooks the sea.
Oh, the sea!
You must keep it closed against the wind. Look at this book.
What is it? Is it a book of spells?
It contains the 600 runes of Hardik. You have to learn them. All of them.
In the dark warmth of that house, Ged spent the winter learning the runes that were written when the islands of Earthsea were first raised up from the waters. And very glad he was to learn this lore, for without it, no man has true mastery. But still no marvels and enchantments occurred. The mage's long, listening silence would fill the room and fill Ged's mind until sometimes it seemed that he had forgotten what words sounded like. And when Ogion spoke at last, it was as if he had just then, for the first time, invented speech. Yet the words he spoke were no great matters, but had only to do with simple things, bread and water and weather and sleep. As spring came on, quick and bright, Ogion often sent Ged to gather herbs in the meadows above Rhaelby, and Ged went with delight.
There. I know you. Yes, I know you. You're the Sparrowhawk, our wizard apprentice. Tell me about sorcery.
I can't.
Are you shy? Do you know me?
Yes.
Who am I then?
You're the daughter of the Lord of Rhaelby.
Are you afraid of me?
No.
Perhaps you should be.
Ged looked at her, and he thought her white skin very ugly, but he had a desire to please her, to win her admiration that grew on him as they talked. She made him tell the story of his tricks with the mist that had defeated the Kargish warriors, and she listened as if she wondered and admired. But she spoke no praise.
My village lost only 4 men and 1 hut burned, but the Kargs lost near 100 of their greatest warriors.
Can you call the birds and beasts to you?
I can. You see that falcon?
Where? Oh, yes.
Adahan! Hajira!
Why did it land over there? Won't it come to your arms?
Not while you're here. Hajira! Gala!
Can you make a love charm?
That's no mastery.
True, any village witch can do it. Can you do changing spells? Can you change your own shape?
I might, if I chose.
Do it. Change yourself into a hawk, a tree, a bull, into anything you like. Do it. Go on. Please.
My master's expecting me. We must get back.
You're afraid to do it.
I'm not afraid.
Maybe you're too young.
Come here again tomorrow.
And
you'll see if I'm too young.
When Ged got back to the house, his master was out. He went straight to the shelf and took down the 2 great books of lore, which Ogion had never yet opened in his presence.
There must be a changing spell here somewhere. Oh, why can't I understand this writing? 2 summon up the spirits of the dead. To summon up the spirits of the dead.
Alf marka tenlo. Tref marka holfar teno. Sentan marka will fright in awe.
As he read, a horror came over him. His eyes were fixed, and he could not lift them until he had finished the spell.
Shemdok Sernien Soranyon Dar.
He raised his head and saw that it was dark in the house. He had been reading without any light in the pitch darkness.
Who is that? I know you're there. Who are you?
What are you?
Something was crouching beside the closed door. A shapeless clot of shadow, darker than the darkness. It reached out towards him.
You keep back! Keep away from me! No!
Achelon! Cherimdil Tak Paragos!
Oh, Master.
Be silent. You will never work that spell but in peril of your power and your life. Was it for that spell that you opened the book?
No, no, Master.
Well then, speak.
I was looking for a shape-changing spell to show the Lord's daughter. She said I couldn't work such a spell. She said I was too young.
Did you not remember what I told you? The girl's mother is an enchantress.
Look, I forgot.
I say nothing to you without good reason. The girl is more than half a witch already. The powers she serves are not the powers I serve. And her mother does not will me well. Yet, listen to me now. This sorcery is not a game we play for pleasure or for praise. Every word, every act of our art is said and done either for good or for evil. Before you speak or do, you must know the price that is to be paid.
How am I to know these things when you teach me nothing? Since I've lived with you, I've done nothing. I've seen nothing.
Now you have seen something. By the door in the darkness, you have seen something. Ged, my young falcon. You are not bound to me or to my service.
But I thought...
You did not come to me, but I to you. You are very young to make this choice, but I cannot make it for you.
What choice, Master?
If you wish, I will send you to Roke Island.
Oh, the Isle of the Wise?
To the School of Wizardry.
Where the air is bright with enchantments, and the Archmage of all Earthsea walks amidst wonders.
I would keep you here with me, for what I have is what you lack. But I will not keep you against your will. Now, choose between this place and Roke.
Ged stood dumb, his heart bewildered. He had come to love this man who had cured him at a touch. He loved him, and he did not know it until now. He yearned to stay with Ogion, yet other cravings were in him that would not be stilled.
Master, I will go to Roke.
Welcome to you, Ogion the Silent. What service may I offer?
Worthy Harbour Master, my prentice here, Sparrowhawk by name, seeks passage to Roke.
He shall have it. Ship is bound today for the inmost sea. To bear the student of the Saviour of the City will be an honour for its captain.
What is the ship's name?
She is the Shadow.
The Shadow?
From the Andrades. She carries furs, ivories. A good ship, Master Ogion.
So be it. Sparrowhawk.
Master...
Give this writing to the warder of the school on Roke. Go with a fair wind. Farewell.
Master? Farewell.
Come along, lad. This way.
Prentice.
Yes, it's true.
Can you listen to this wind?
No, sir.
Well, can you make the compass lead us along our proper course?
Oh, that's the secret of the sea, masters. I'm a landsman.
Well, then I can't get this ship to Roke. Come on, lad. Do something.
I don't know how.
Keep tossing.
Wait!
Lad, what's the matter with you?
Steer west.
What?
Steer west.
And nothing lies west.
Steer west!
Lad!
You can't do as I say or this ship will surely be lost.
I'll not lead you wrongly. Steer west.
Steersman! Keep her west! Due west!
Hoy, sir! Quick!
Man the oars!
Well, Captain?
I've never seen a storm die so fast! And that's
Will B! Oh, no! Lad, how did you do it?
Captain, I don't know.
Excuse me. Wait, excuse me. Your pardon, friend.
What is it, lad?
Where can I find the School of Wizardry?
The School of Wizardry, is it?
And its water, yes, but where can I find it?
The wise don't need to ask. The fool asks in vain.
Ged went uphill until he came to a square and asked his question again.
You can't always find the warder where he is, but sometimes you find him where he isn't.
On one side of the square, set in a stone wall, was a mean little door of wood. Ged went to this.
Yes, lad.
I bear a letter from the Mage Ogion of the Isle of Gaunt to the warder of the School of Wizardry. I want to find him, but I will hear no more riddles and scoffing. Where is the school?
This is the school.
This?
I am the doorkeeper. Come in, if you can.
What is there to stop me? What happened?
Can't you see? You're still outside.
But I walked through the doorway.
Try again.
Very well. I will not be treated like a fool!
A third time he stepped forward, and a third time he remained standing outside the door. The doorkeeper inside watched him with mild eyes.
Malcrosoff by Tredi Karalnor.
What do you say, lad?
Malcrosoff by Tredi Karalnor.
Ah.
It was an opening spell, which his aunt the witch had taught him long ago. It was the prize among all her stocks of spells, and he wove it well now. But the power that held this doorway was not moved at all.
Well?
Oh, I can't get in. Unless you help me.
Say your name.
Oh, my true name? You want me to say my name?
Allowed? We have heard many names, this door and I. We don't tell them.
I am Ged.
Enter, Ged.
Stepping forward, Ged entered the open doorway. And it seemed to him that, though the light was behind him, a shadow followed him in at his heels.
Wait here.
Yes. Thank you.
Something troubles you, lad?
Not troubles, no. It's this place. It feels...
Go on.
It looks just like a stone courtyard, but it feels as if it's built more of magic than of stone.
And so it is. We are standing at the very center of the House of the Wise. I'll leave you now.
The very center.
Suddenly Ged was aware of a man clothed in white, watching him through the falling water of the fountain, though Ged had neither seen nor heard his arrival. Their eyes met, and in that moment, Ged understood the singing of the bird and the language of the water and the shape of the clouds and the beginning and end of the wind that stirred the leaves. It seemed to him that he himself was a word spoken by the sunlight. Then that moment passed, and he and the world were as before, or almost as before. Ged knelt before the man in white.
My lord,
You are the Warder of Roke, the Archmage of all Earthsea.
You see the truth. Rise, lad.
This letter is for you. It was written
by Ogion, whom men call the Silent.
Yes.
I welcome you, his pupil, to the Isle of the Wise.
Thank you, sir.
My eyes are old. Read me the letter, lad.
Lord Nemeli, I send you one who will be the greatest of the wizards of Gond, if the wind blows true. It's signed with the symbol of the closed mouth.
Ogion's rune. Young Ogion was dear to me when he came here. Tell me of the seas and portents of your voyage.
Ged did so. When he had finished his story, he knelt again, and when he rose from his knee, the Archmage was gone.
Greetings.
Greetings.
I am called Jasper, Enwith's son of the Domain of Eel, Gondhapner Isle. How shall I call you, sir?
Men call me Sparrowhawk, from the Isle of Gaunt.
Well, Sparrowhawk of Gaunt, I am at your service today to show you the great house and answer your questions as best I can.
Do you scoff at me,
sir?
Why do you smile like that?
Do men not smile where you come from?
Not with smiles that sit on top of sneers. Is that the way of the rich and the noble when dealing with the poor? Or is it just your way, Jasper, son of Enwit?
Follow me, please.
Where do we sit?
Where we like. They say that no matter how many sit at this table, there's always room. We'll go here.
Hello?
Sparrowhawk, this is Vetch.
No, this food is terrible.
Well, you're eating it fast enough.
Oh, well, at least it's not illusion like so much around here. It sticks to your ribs. Eat yours before it gets cold. It's even worse cold.
Right.
You're new.
Well, I just got here today.
Oh, welcome.
Sparrowhawk is from Gaunt, where all men are either goat herds or thieves.
Oh, or wizards, eh, Sparrowhawk?
Or wizards.
That afternoon, the three went down into the town, that Ged might learn his way about it. Then Jasper and Vetch took Ged along a narrow northward path that climbed and wound.
This is the hill I saw from the ship last night.
Roke Knoll, this is called.
Huh?
Its roots go down to the centre of the earth, and all spells are strong here.
Well, Sparrowhawk, I've heard much about Gauntish sorcery. Show us your style.
What do you mean?
Later on, Jasper, let him be.
Well, he must have either skill or power. The doorkeeper wouldn't have let him in. Right, Sparrowhawk?
I have both skill and power.
Then show us.
What kind of thing are you talking about?
Illusions, of course. Tricks. Games of seeming. Like this. Meothornir vas klingro qua.
A stream!
It feels wet enough, doesn't it? And it tastes wet enough, too, if you try it. But it won't quench your thirst. It's just an illusion. Drangla! Now you, Vetch.
No, Jasper.
Yes? Go on.
Oh, all right. You see this earth, Sparrowhawk, this mant?
Huh?
I'll just take a small piece. And then... Zathalingfa. Well, fly away, little one. Well, that's wonderful.
No. Well, come on then, Sparrowhawk. Your turn.
I do no such tricks as these.
Oh, you will, in time. Come on, let's get back.
No, wait, why not, Sparrowhawk?
Sorcery is not a game. We Gauntish men do not play it for pleasure or for praise.
What do you play it for? Money?
No.
Oh, come on. Bedtime for little boys.
That night, as Ged lay wrapped in his cloak on the straw-filled mattress in his cold, unlit cell of stone, the strangeness of the place and the thought of all the spells and sorceries that had been worked there began to come over him heavily. Darkness surrounded him. Dread filled him. And he wished he were anywhere else but Rome.
Who's there?
Sparrowhawk. Oh, Vetch. Can I come in and talk a while?
Yes, please.
How'd you make that ball of light?
Oh, it's called Weir Light. It's a simple spell.
Oh, you sound like Jasper.
No, it really is simple. You'll see soon enough. You mustn't be upset if I know more than you do. I've been here 3 years. Soon I'll be made sorcerer.
Sorcerer? Well, why are you bothering with me?
Because I remember my first day. And my first night. Can I sit down?
So, Sparrowhawk, you've been with us for an entire month. What have you learned?
More than some who've been here a year.
Ooh, how goat herds do boast.
He doesn't boast, Jasper. He speaks no more than the truth.
Well. When you feel inclined to match your skills with mine, goat herd, just say the word. I'll be waiting.
Why does he hate me?
Do you really not know?
Do you?
You're his rival. Haven't you heard what the others are saying about you?
What?
They praise you, Sparrowhawk. They say you're a mage born and can never be beaten. They say that Ogeon the Silent, tamer of the earthquake, has written that you'll be a great wizard. Is it true?
Yes, it's true. Yes. Jasper would do well to remember.
When he was not moved by pride or rage, Ged knew that he was as yet no match for Jasper or any of the older boys. He set his strong will on his work and his studies, the lessons and crafts and histories and skills taught by the grey-cloaked masters of Roke, who were called the Nine. One whole year he spent in the isolate tower, where by himself lived the master namer, and endless were the lists and rounds and ranks of names that he must learn.
Celador Caspendil.
And at the end of that long, hard, dry year, the master namer said to him only,
"You have made a good beginning."
Good beginning? I don't know how many thousands of names I learnt, and he calls it a good beginning.
So it is. And you'll go on learning all your life. Oh, that sounds hot. This fir tree won't object if we use it for shelter, I'm sure. Let's sit for a while. Why are you smiling?
I was thinking of Ogeon, my old master. He likes to sit under fir trees.
Sparrowhawk.
What?
Look up there. In the bushes.
Where?
Don't move. Do you see?
What is it?
It's an otak. They're very rare.
Oh, it's beautiful. Do they make good pets?
No. Their temper's fierce and their teeth are cruel. It's seen us. We're quite safe. They keep away from men.
Not this one. Here it comes.
Try speaking to it.
Hello, otak.
I think it likes you. How well do you remember your lessons in the tower?
Otak?
Yes.
Your true name is Hoeg.
Hoeg, do you want to come with me? I think we can assume that he does. He looks quite at home on your shoulder. They say that a man favoured by a wild beast is a man who can hear the speech of stone and spring.
They say a lot of things. Come on, let's get back.
From that day, the otak stayed with Ged, travelling on his shoulder or in the folds of his cloak. In the second month of that summer, the whole school and the whole town gathered together to celebrate the moon's night and the long dance, which that year fell together as one festival, which happens but once in 52 years. The students of the school were all eating and laughing and playing such tricks as might be the marvel of a king's court.
Magnificent! Bravo, Sparrowhawk! A little higher and you can share my chicken!
If there's any left, here I come! Behold the Sparrowhawk that cannot fly. Sick of boys and noise and foolishness.
Oh, you're getting middle-aged, Jasper. Go back to the tower if it's silence and gloom you want.
What is it you want, Jasper?
I want the company of my equals. Come on, Vetch. Let's leave the prentices to their games.
Wait. What do sorcerers have that prentices lack?
power.
I'll match your power act for act.
You challenge me.
I challenge you.
Duels in sorcery are forbidden. Let this cease.
Do you really think I'd accept a challenge from you? A boy who smells of goats and who doesn't know even the first change?
What do you know of what I know?
For an instant, and with no spell spoken that any heard, Ged vanished from their sight. And where he had stood, a great falcon hovered. For one instant. And then Ged stood again in the flickering torchlight, his dark gaze on Jasper.
That was just an illusion. Village tricks.
No. No, that was a true change. High magic. Sparrowhawk, be a man and drop this now.
Keep out of this, Vetch. Well, Goatherd, I'll give you your chance. What will you do with it?
What would you like me to do?
Oh, summon up a spirit from the dead, for all I care.
No.
I will.
No!
You will not. You can't. You brag.
By my name, I will do it! Come on!
Vetch, come on.
Where are we going?
Roke Knoll, where the roots go down to the center of the earth and all spells are strung.
Now, Jasper, whose spirit shall I call?
Call whom you like. None will listen to you.
Are you afraid?
I'm afraid. Yeah. And I don't care who knows it. This is madness.
Vetch, come here. Come over here.
What?
Listen, I can do it. I know I can do it. It's this night, and this place, and everything. I mean, can't you feel it?
Feel what?
I can feel the roots of the hill going down and down, and I can feel the stars on fire. And between the roots and the stars, it's mine. All mine to command.
This is wrong.
I can do this, my friend. I can do it. Jasper.
Ah. So you've finished your gossiping, have you? Just get on with it.
Are you afraid, Jasper, of the domain of the ale? I'll call a woman's spirit. You needn't fear a woman. I'll call Elfram the Fair.
What? She died 1,000 years ago and her bones are at the bottom of the sea.
Do years and distances matter to the dead? Watch and listen.
In a great, slow movement, he spread out his arms, the gesture of welcome.
Ash margatinok, tref margak hulfartinok, zental margak wefretinok, adalo sendarvanak magaktinok.
He had read the runes of this spell in Ogion's book 2 years and more ago, and never since had seen them. In darkness he had read them then. Now in this darkness, it was as if he read them again on the page, open before him in the night.
Ash margak tinok, deftra magak ufartinok, zental margak wifretinok, adro sendervanak magak tinok, am shemdok serenien surenion da!
Elflod! Elflod! Elflod!
Ged fell forward, as if to embrace the earth with his outstretched arms. When he rose, a shapeless mass of darkness appeared between his straining hands. The darkness split apart, and a pale spindle of light gleamed. For a moment there appeared a form, a human shape, a tall woman, her face beautiful and sorrowful.
Elflod!
And full of fear. The light between Ged's arms grew brighter. It widened and spread, a rent in the darkness of the earth and the night, a ripping open of the fabric of the world. And through the light clambered something like a clot of black shadow, quick and hideous.
Stop this! Stop it!
It's a trick! Cheap village trickery!
No!
As Ged grasped the creature in a grip he could not loosen, the lump of shadow swelled and stretched and grew great taloned claws.
Save your wrestling games for the other goat herd!
Jasper, you fool, it's hurting him!
Scandal in your...
gone. Sparrowhawk!
My lord, I had nothing to do with this. He insisted...
Shut up, Jasper! Sparrowhawk! Can you hear me?
Paragos. Tak. Athelos.
Archmage! My lord!
Stand back from them!
But masters, I'm not to blame.
Silence!
Stand away!
And make no move!
The nine masters of Roke had all appeared on the bleak, starlit hilltop. An act of great wizardry is not worked without arousing such men, though none had been so swift as the Archmage. Lord Nemerly now lay unmoving. Beside him, his blood flowing freely from the creature's claw wounds, lay Ged.
Sparrowhawk! Is he dead? Did that foul thing kill him?
He lives!
And Lord Nemerly?
They both live, after a fashion.
There must be something we can do, Master Herbal.
We are already doing much. The Master Summoner is standing guard on the hilltop.
Standing guard? Why? How will that help Sparrowhawk?
You see only your friend's injuries and the sleep from which he will not awaken, but you must look beyond these things.
I know that the Archmage is dying.
Then ask yourself why.
The creature that appeared. I realize that Lord Nemerly drove it back to the realm of the dead, and it took all his power.
And all his strength. But you are wrong, Sorcerer Vetch. Archmage Nemerly turned that thing away from your friend, but not back to its own domain. Only the one who summoned it could have done that, and the creature had already overpowered him.
But if it didn't return to the Darkland...
Then it is still here, in our world.
On the day following the death of the Lord Nemerly, the nine masters of Roke met. Behind nine walls of silence, woven by their strongest spells... They took each other's counsel.
We are agreed, then. Genscher of Way Island is to be the new Archmage.
His wisdom will be needed.
A ship shall be sent for him, protected by every guarding spell we know.
How is the boy?
His wounds do not mend, and his blood still flows from them. Such power as I have laid on him, but he must heal himself, and that will take time.
Should we consider the question of punishment?
Punishment? When he knows what he has done, that will be punishment enough.
Of these discussions, Ged knew nothing. For 4 weeks of that hot summer, he lay blind and deaf and mute. At last, his wounds began to close and the fever left him. On a clear day of autumn, the Master Herbal opened the shutters of the room where Ged lay. Since the night of the summoning, he had known only darkness. Now he saw daylight and the sun shining, and he hid his scarred face in his hands and wept.
Go away.
Sparrowhawk.
Vetch?
Can I come in and talk a while?
I thought you wouldn't come to me.
I couldn't come to you. At first, the Master Herbal forbade it. And after that, I've been with the Master in the Grove, locked up myself. And now I'm going home.
Home?
I've earned my staff. I'm a full wizard now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Vetch, is Jasper a wizard now, too?
Jasper will never be a wizard. He went from here in disgrace.
The Masters knew what happened.
Sometimes I think they know everything. I have something for you. Here, little one. Come here. There you are.
Oh, Oik. Come here, my friend. That's it.
Good. Now he's back where he belongs.
He stayed with you all these months.
No, I'm sorry to part with him. But sorrier to part with you, Sparrowhawk. Listen, when you're free too, come to the East Reach, my homeland. There's good cheer there, and wizards are well received.
Free?
You won't stay bound here on Roke forever.
Vetch, what do you see?
Well, not rooms and books. Far-off seas, and the fire of dragons, and the towers of cities, and all the things a hawk sees when he flies far and high. That's what I see before you.
And behind me, what do you see behind me?
Sparrowhawk, if ever your way lies east, come to me. And if you ever need me, call on me by my true name, Estario.
Estario, my name is Ged.
Farewell, my friend. Remember my words.
Farewell. And a farewell.
Ged's studies continued. He was not as quick to learn as he had been, having learned a long, hard lesson from fear. But the months and years went by, and at last, on a day of spring, Ged was summoned by the Archmage Genscher. He knelt once more in the courtyard, at the very center of the House of the Wands.
Rise,
my lord.
You have worked hard and long.
I shall need great knowledge if I am to undo what I have done.
It waits for you, that shadow. It wills to work evil through you. It can use your power to magnify its own. But you must know this. Here, on the Isle of the Wise, you are protected. In the world outside, I do not know if any place is safe for you. I offer you the choice. Stay here in safety, or go into great danger.
I have no choice. I must undo the evil I have done. I choose the path of danger. I choose to leave.
Sparrowhawk of Gaunt, we name you wizard.
My lords.
I give you your staff, cut to your height.
I give you your cloak, gift of those you go to serve.
Where am I to be sent?
To the Isle Townships of Low Tawning.
Far from the inmost sea. And close to ruined Pendor.
A poor land of fishers and farmers.
You will serve them as heal-all and weather worker.
But, masters, forgive me, but...
Such a land requires no more than a witch or a sorcerer.
Such was my thought, my lord.
You are right. But for this one thing, the dragon of Pendor has risen again.